Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm reporter Emily Kwong. Today is Monday, August 27th, 2018. We're here today to have a conversation about National Suicide Prevention Week, which is coming up September 9th through September 15th. It's a time for us as a country, as citizens, to talk about how to help those who are struggling with suicidal thoughts and resources that are available nationally as well as locally. I have with me in the studio Amy Zanuzowski, Executive Director of Sitka Counseling and Prevention Services. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And also Melissa Marconi-Wenzel. You probably recognize her voice. Hello, Melissa.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
For she was our longtime Morning Edition host and guided plenty of conversations right where I sit now. She is a clinical mental health practicum student, currently getting her master's degree in mental health and seeing clients under supervision. So this is something both these women think about a lot, and we're in capable hands as we have this discussion this morning. So I just want to start off by inviting you to share something about suicide that perhaps is not a part of the public conversation or in Sitka, something that you feel like people should know. Go ahead, Melissa.
I think that most importantly, and I think Amy probably agrees with me, is that we need to be talking about this more.
Agreed.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. The S word, suicide, is not a dirty word. It's something that we should all be talking about, not directly because of suicide, the act, but because the more you talk about it, the more people are comfortable understanding that it's a situation that somebody's gone through.
That's right.
And it's not just you alone. It's the community. You know, when a suicide happens, it affects everybody, whether it's a neighbor, the grocery store clerk, anybody.
I think there's a lot of fear, right, about talking about suicide. I think there's this misperception, this fear that, you know, if I bring this up, if I mention suicide, then maybe I'll start thinking about it more, or maybe this other person will start thinking about it more. There's this fear that it raises the risk, and actually, that's not true. The opposite is true. The more we reach out for support and help, the easier it becomes to hold this and to help ourselves move through it and to help others move through it.
Let's start off with some of the warning signs. How do you know when someone is potentially at a point where further help is required and they're a suicide risk? Yeah. Go ahead, Melissa. Or Amy.
So I was just going to say that warning signs are different for everybody. And so there's kind of a generic list of warning signs. Someone's talking about or threatening to hurt or kill themselves, seeking firearms, drugs, other lethal means of killing oneself, talking or writing about death, dying or suicide, direct statements, less direct statements of suicidal intent, I'm just going to end it all, or everything would be easier if I wasn't around.
And, you know, if people start communicating that they're feeling increasingly hopeless, and if this is a shift from what you typically understand their outlook to be, as Amy said, different for everyone. Obviously, substances, drug and alcohol, that raises the risk, especially of a more impulsive suicide attempt. It can be thought out. It can be impulsive. If people start talking about really feeling trapped in their lives, feeling that pain is unbearable, and they just want to escape, that's also another clue that maybe they need some extra support and help.
Okay. And if you're the friend of this person and this starts happening, what do you do next when you're in Sitka? What is the right step to take?
Well, first listen.
Right.
Without judgment.
Okay. Yeah. Letting them know that there's a safe place. Talking with them, letting know that you care. It's okay to have suicidal feelings. It's okay to have somebody listen. Definitely want to stay with them at all times. Definitely don't want to leave them alone. You want to remove any kind of firearms or pills or knives or something that they could hurt themselves with. Definitely want to do that.
Any means. There are a number of people in the community who can provide referrals for mental health support, right? So your doctor can. You can talk to your doctor. You can talk to your nurse. You can call Sitka Counseling or any of our counseling agencies in town for support as well. And as a friend or a family member, you can help that person take these steps. You can walk side by side with them, supporting them, because that's a scary action to take, right? To really allow yourself to say, I need help. But it's a life changer if you can support someone in doing that.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't realize that the National Suicide, or pardon me, let me get the actual word correct, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, it's not only for those who are struggling with suicidal thoughts, but it's for their friends and family mm-hmm. too. If you're truly at a loss for what to do and how to be that person mm-hmm. in the journey, walking alongside, and you yourself are scared, you can call the number as well. We'll post the number on our website when we share this interview. But I can share it now for those listening. It's 1-800-273-8255. There's also a crisis text mm-hmm. line that's become mm-hmm. quite popular.
It's becoming more popular. So, yeah. Well, suicide in general, suicide prevention is becoming increasingly talked about. And I think that's really critical as we work to build this culture of acceptance and support in our communities. And especially in Alaska, you know, we have the highest rate of suicide per capita in the U.S. So it touches so many families and communities' lives. It's like a ripple effect. So the more opportunities we have to talk about this, I think the better.
Yeah. It was also pretty revealing a few months ago, the CDC released a report saying that suicide had increased by, I think, 30% in half of the states in the United States. And it's becoming, I mean, would you say it's becoming, or perhaps has long been, and maybe people are now recognizing it, a public health problem, something that can be prevented and is society's to kind of acknowledge? Would you say it's kind of becoming that, or is it still something that we're struggling to talk about fully?
I think we're still struggling to talk about it fully. I think these are some of the first steps, being able to openly talk about it on the radio, to have partnerships within the community. Mm-hmm. Because suicide, it is the sixth leading cause of death for Alaska residents. Mm-hmm. So that's a really high number, and it's something we should definitely focus on.
And I think we tend to walk through life, regardless of what our struggles are, feeling isolated, like we're the only ones experiencing this. And that is so true when it comes to suicidal thinking. And the more we can start bringing this into the light, out into the open, the more we're going to help our communities as a whole, as well as ourselves.
Yeah. And I think one thing to mention about this is that we have to promote healing, and that the grief process is complex, and it might take months or years to process. So it's not something that's just going to happen overnight. So we also need to think about how that affects us as well.
That has certainly been true in my experience. I'll out myself here a little bit. Part of the reason I invited Amy and Melissa on air this morning is because I am someone who has a suicide attempt survivor in my family. My mom, my beloved mom, who we're very fortunate, is still with us. And on Friday, a conversation between my mother and I that we had 5 years ago at StoryCorps played on NPR's Morning Edition. I have a little clip, which I'll share with you now. This is me and my mom talking about her suicide attempt.
When I was in the hospital, the hospital's tradition is they would play a little lullaby every time a baby's born, no matter what time of day or night. So on the psychiatric floor, we heard it. And I thought about when you were born and they handed you to me. And I remember your eyes just locked on mine. And I just felt, wow, this is my daughter. But in that moment that I took those pills, I wasn't thinking of you. And that's hard to accept.
So that's my mom and I speaking. You can't hear it, but I was crying in this moment when she's sharing this with me, because I had been up until that point afraid to ask her what her experience was like. And there are millions of people who are suicide attempt survivors for whom they haven't been able to share the story because it's a scary story to tell. I will never regret the day I asked my mom about it. I think what you are saying, Melissa and Amy, I wouldn't have believed it if I had perhaps heard it over the radio beforehand. But boy, do I believe it now. Just the relief that can come from being open and having these discussions. Of course, I had this this StoryCorps project to kind of motivate me to begin the conversation. But how do you start the conversation? Let's say that you have someone who isn't necessarily a suicide attempt survivor or someone who is struggling with suicidal thoughts. What if you just have someone in your family who seems kind of not good? How do you start a conversation about mental health in a way that won't send people running for the hills? How does that happen, and what's the best approach if you're a loved one of that person? Go ahead, Melissa.
So this may sound cheesy, for lack of a better word, but, you know, I really believe in the power of speaking from your heart and speaking openly and honestly to others and expressing your own fears about bringing this up with somebody, and expressing concern for them. You know, I've noticed that you seem to be struggling right now, and then offering your support to then letting them know that you're there for them, even if they're not at a point where they can talk about it or share in that moment, letting them know that you are a supportive ear for them whenever they are ready.
Agreed.
Thank you. And Amy.
Oh, I was just going to say, I agree with Melissa 100%. And also just letting them know that it's a judge-free, mm-hmm. you're not judging. You want to just listen, and you're just there to hear and listen and help them as much as you can.
Well, it's been really great to have the two of you on the radio to talk about this. And is there anything you want to add as a last thought? National Suicide Prevention Week is September 9th. But yes, any parting thoughts as we head off for the morning?
If you're ever in doubt, mm-hmm. call or go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll share some of those numbers online. In addition to there being a national suicide prevention lifeline that's available in English, Spanish, and for those deaf and hard of hearing, all those numbers, I won't read them now. I'll just put them on our website. Search also has a crisis line. If you would like help locally, that's 1-877-294-0074.
And remember that first step feels the hardest, right? It feels the most insurmountable. But once you've taken that step, it often feels like it's more within your grasp, right? You can see light. You can see the possibility of change. And when you reach out to somebody who you trust, they can help you on your journey. And you're not alone. You know, we hold a lot of shame around this. We hold a lot of fear around this. I think most of us do. Just remember that you are not alone.
That is Melissa Marconi-Wenzel. She is a clinical mental health practicum student, seeing clients under supervision. And Amy Zanuzowski is the executive director of Sika Counseling and Prevention Services. Both these women have dedicated their lives to ensuring people feel less alone in whatever struggles they experience in life. And I'm really grateful you're both in our community, and feel lucky you're in the studio with me this morning. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you.